Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Reality Realness with Three S's. I'm your host, Chantel Francis, here with my traitor hunter, Jonathan. How are we doing tonight, Jonathan? Episode 6.
We are good. We are freshly off of just having seen it.
We haven't even spoken.
Yeah, we haven't spoken about it. These are our fresh thoughts of it. We haven't said a word to each other about it yet, so.
Other than you did say, another good episode.
Yeah. And I will say, I mean, we called it without giving it all away. Everything that we said last week kind of happened, right? So, and we were putting the pieces together and figuring it all out. So I feel like there were a few naysayers, a few people who thought other things could have happened, but
there was some people like that were very vocal in like comments being like, oh, Dan can still win this. All he has to do is like put it on another traitor and then throw them under the bus. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, there's obviously a way for him to stay and win this game, but I just think it's very, very unlikely with the game he's played up until this point.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, if anything, tonight told us that Dan was playing not a good game, you know, and without getting ahead of anything, just like talking about in general, like him going around to people like a dog at Thanksgiving looking for scraps is not it. You know what I mean? Like, that's not going to that, yeah. You know, it's I think, yeah, it's desperate. You're right. And it's like, and I'm so glad that, you know, a lot of times in these games people don't necessarily see through it, but I'm like, look at what happened last time with the whole Janelle thing, and people are like, well, he's calling his shot and he's doing it on Phaedra. I'm like, well, no, he called his shot last time on Janelle.
Exactly. And so just like, I'm sorry, I know Dan was like a really excellent Big Brother player, and he had, you know, he mentioned at least twice that came out of retirement after 10 years of playing these games, and it was because it was a special game with traitors. So I know a lot of people have been really excited to see him on our screens, but he wasn't playing a good game. Now, the fact that he was going around before the banishment roundtable being like, I have one compelling argument. Will you make sure that you give me an ear? You'll hear me out. And it's like, that's your desperate dog that you're talking about, because it's like, you should have been doing this all the time. They don't trust you now. They don't trust your theories. Yeah. They don't trust your thought patterns. Anything that you do now is just like, oh, look at that. Isn't it convenient that the one time that he's really, really in the every time he's been really, 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 really in the hot seat, he throws the name out of another person, as opposed to him just like trying different things all along and then maybe be proven wrong. But like, he hasn't been playing the game with the faithfuls for them to care about his theories. Yeah. Why would they care?
Yeah, it was really fulfilling this episode seeing, you know, him kind of like, he made his bed, you know, not a strategic one, and he had to lay in it, and that's the end of it, right? So, but unfortunately, going after Phaedra, I do think, like, Trishel had a moment there where she was like, well, often traitors do, on their way out, kind of go after another traitor, which is true. I mean, Phaedra...
She's saying that he knows that we want a traitor, and so his last-ditch effort would be to give us a traitor, we vote for that person, it's a traitor, and then he looks like the traitor hunter.
Yeah, so, you know, love Phaedra. I hope that doesn't gain any traction. And I do think that ultimately she could use the fact that he did go after Janelle first and she was a faithful as some precedent to the fact that he wasn't necessarily doing that. I know she was going after him, but anyway, it was just like, overall, it was just really poorly thought out on his part. And I'm not getting it. And then, you know, and then at the end of the episode, we'll get there, but it's like, it really sets up what will happen next as such a like really interesting, like,
well,
you know,
I kind of want to talk about it now before we talk about the episode, because it's on my mind. So we saw like many of the season previews where you hear Phaedra say, you don't like to, I don't have to kiss your ass to get a rose to Peter. So what this tells me is that Peter does get seduced. He does take them up on this offer of like being a traitor. And then I think that Trishel is still going to go for Phaedra and get their group to go after Phaedra. And he's going to go along with it. And Phaedra's going to be pissed.
Yeah.
So I think that that's Phaedra being pissed at a traitor that she recruited that is kind of throwing her under the bus because Trishel kind of got the group on board, and he still has to play like he's one of his faithfuls. And yeah, that's, I now I know how Phaedra acts when her back is up against the wall. She attacks, and that is a similar attack and retort that she was giving Dan. And so I think that Peter does get seduced.
I agree with you. I, like he said at the end there, he's like, well, I'm going to get murdered. And it's, if it's not today,
it wouldn't
if he
be just, this night, but though,
like, yeah, he could refuse it. He could get poverty out, and then he'd be murdered the following day by whoever the, you know, at least that there's three, right? So whoever the third traitor is. And funny enough though, I don't know that it would be a recruitment, I'm sure. Rather than if he got another traitor out. So it's like, technically, I think he probably would buy himself a couple rounds, but yes, this sets him up for, yeah, not only Peacock, MTV, the challenge. Yeah. Me and Chantal were talking about that yesterday. They literally tell you who is out. Then you can like piece it together.
It
wasn't
even difficult to piece together.
No, it wasn't, because I did.
There's one frame that they did not to have in there, and then it would have been fine.
Yeah. So anyway, a lot of shows are doing that. Weird. But and then there's people like you and me who are like still shotting the ends of episodes. But yeah, I mean, I really do think this sets up Peter for potentially, like, there's so much suspicion on Parvati that you can go after at any point. Like, maybe you do want to be a traitor and then shift it to whoever, who that third person is, to try to look like you are hunting them down, and then give up Parvati when you need to. You can save Parvati till near the end when you like final five, and then you're like, give her, I mean, if she would last that long, probably not, but it's yeah, it really sets up
bad though. In order for Peter to win, he really will have to either murder all of his friends or go to the end with all of his friends and then be the sole traitor.
You go to the end with them. You need those people at the end who are like, undoubtedly you are a faithful, I know you are. And so they will never,
it's gonna be like, if it gets there, like,
go to the end with Bergie. Bergie's not.
Oh my God, this is so bad. I mean, it's good, but I feel really bad.
I do too, but it really opens up the possibilities of so many things happening. And here's the thing. Peter has played a really, I mean, weird, and then a sharp learning curve. And then now we're like, okay, Peter. And then now, can he play as a traitor? Will it shift what he's doing? Will people notice?
It's the best way to be a traitor, I think, because he knows what he's like as a faithful. Mm-hmm. He knows how he acts. He knows how he brings his group together. He knows how he throws in theories. Like, that's why I think that Phaedra, he's going to have to just go with his regular shtick, right? And so if Trishel's bringing this information to him, he's going to have to go with it, because that's what he would have done as a faithful. So yeah, I think he's going to be able to be okay with playing it because he had experience of being a faithful in advance.
Yeah. We are seeing now Dan making a lot of mistakes, and now we're seeing Parvati and also Phaedra make a mistake. I don't think Phaedra should, and I've said this before, I don't think you should ever relinquish control in that traitor's tower.
A second time, and I think it's going to get her banished.
Yeah, I agree. And then with Parvati too, like, she's just rushing to these, like, yes, she's in a tough spot. What do you do? I mean, if you've watched all the other seasons and versions of it, I mean, the traitors turn on each other and they often recruit someone to throw under the bus. So he's going to, you know, he's going to go after you, and it's not a good thing. So I feel like
he's going to play faithful from the inside, and maybe he's going to fall on his sword for his friends. He might even do that.
Do you think that they could have recruited someone else that would play into their game a little bit better? Or even, let's just, like, even if it's not Parvati and you're like,
maybe just pull in CT, right? Because he could have been somebody that was given the information. Maybe CT could be the play.
I just think I think what Parvati is doing is probably seeing as Peter as the head of that snake and being like, he's the one who's leading them. So I'm taking a shot. Maybe he'll lead them in the wrong direction. And I'm like, But what's the motive? What's the motivation there? There isn't any for him.
His motivation now is for him to win. That if he's going to have to take out his friends, he doesn't have to care that much about you because he knows you recruited him for yourself to put yourself in a better position.
And if anything, if you murdered Peter, it makes you could say like, "Guys, I'm being set up." Like it's so obvious. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
I mean, Dan was kind of trying to do that.
Well, Dan was trying to do a lot of things at the last second that was just out of character, out of everything. It was just not working. And it was like you could see through it so hardcore. But I mean, if you murdered Peter, they'd be looking for someone else to lead them. And if you could, you know, persuade them, I don't know.
If they murdered Peter, they would just go with Parvati and just see what's up. You know what I mean?
But I mean, at least for Phaedra, and that's why she should have fought for it. She should have convinced Parvati. That would have taken maybe some heat off of her or something like that. Like she could have recruited someone that would have been better for her, or she could have just murdered, you know, Peter and let Parvati take the hit for that.
Yeah. I mean, Peter's going to be in self-preservation mode and he's still going to be have to play traitor hunter. And so I think it's more dangerous to have him protected and then able to know all the information. Yeah. I think it's dangerous. Happy birthday, Sophie! Aquarius! Gang, gang.
Birthday. Oh, my
Happy
goodness.
Happy birthday.
Wait, is it the first or the second? Because we're technically the
I think
second.
She said officially, so I'm thinking it would be the second. That would be my guess.
Oh, that's my grandmother's birthday.
Really?
That second. It's a good day. 2-2. Good day. So anyway, anything else that you need to say? Because I would love to go through the episode because there's a lot of funny moments that I would like to relive in my head. But
no, we can relive them. And then as we talk about them,
yeah,
some of these things are going to come up. I was actually very surprised that at the beginning of the episode, they just kind of went right into it. Like, do you think that they re-edited it? Because like, the discourse on social media was like, okay, like it's obvious that he, like every, I listened to a bunch of podcasts about this episode and every single person says, I slowed it down and I counted the heads around the round table. Like there are 13 heads there. They obviously tried the murder Bergie and it didn't work. Like, and then they just, beginning of the episode, they're like, they tried to murder Bergie, but it didn't work. Like they totally just like, didn't even try to fool us anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they could have shown, but it did feel with the edit, like what was missing, like them just reiterating talking about that and saying, let's do it, and then just showing them write down Bergie. Sure. It did feel like we're missing something. So maybe that's what we felt like we're missing, that clip of them writing it down. But yeah, it was like, are you missing footage or what happened?
Yeah, like maybe they're just like, oh, we're embarrassed that we kind of gave it away. So let's just glaze over that.
Yeah, that did seem like that.
We did see, though, in the replay of like what the recap that Dan's like, I need this murder. And if he like was as good a player as I believed him to be, he would have thought this through and been like, it's too risky. We have to vote. We have to murder somebody inside the house. That's our only play here. I'm sorry you're in the hot seat, but like it's too risky.
Yeah. It's wild to me. It's wild. I would only expect amateur to make a move like that. I think anyone with like any sort of strategic history of playing any of these games, whether it's in person or online, would never do something like that. So I thought it was the biggest, you know, amateur move that I could not believe he was making. And he doesn't deserve making something, a mistake like that in this game. You do not deserve to win. I'm sorry. So
no, it was catastrophic. It was like, it was so bad. Like it'll go down in one of the worst, I would say worst moves on traders.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Mary here is thinking that Parvati should have brought Sandra in because this is a huge mistake. Do you think that Sandra would have been a better recruit?
I don't know what Sandra would have done for them. She doesn't seem to have like a social standing. She's not in that group of Peter's. So, you know, I don't know. What is Sandra going to? I've wanted Sandra as a traitor for my own purposes, but I don't know what that would have done for them. necessarily.
And what about Rocky here is thinking Trishelle would have been a better recruit.
I think Trishelle's, I mean, as we know, unbeknownst to Phaedra, maybe that like Trishelle's like kind of clocking that Phaedra might be. So unbeknownst to them, I think Trishelle's a better for at the very least Phaedra. But yeah, maybe you don't go after the head, you go after the neck, as you put it. And Trishelle could kind of get in if she wants to play game with Parvati. She can get
right. Trishelle, I think, would have been a better call. I do think. I know that they're going to just easily try to throw Peter under the bus. I get that. But I just think that he's a dead man walking. So he's going to be doing anything at this point, right? Like, he knows that if he doesn't accept it, he's going to be murdered. So now he's just going to go out guns blazing here. He's going to try to win, but he's going to try hard because he's playing with house money. So
yeah.
I think he's volatile. He's dangerous.
The interesting thing is, do you think that, like, you know, assuming that Peter gets recruited, that he'll go after Phaedra, knowing that Phaedra just sliced and diced Dan up? Do you think that he would be like, I'm still going to take you on? Or do you think I was just thinking of like different people that they can recruit. Like, we're talking about it now. And I'm like, I don't know that Peter would go after her. I mean, it seems like it's set up for that with the clip that you are talking about too. But I'm like, is that a mistake or is he that like good? I don't know.
I think that he's just going to be corroborating Trishelle's suspicions.
Right.
And she's going to bark back. And I think that her barking back, it might just be a little bit too strong of a bark for innocent little Peter, just like Trishelle just saying this one little thing. And so I'm worried actually that Phaedra might get caught in this trap as well.
Yeah, I am too. I am too.
Because I feel like, just like you said earlier, the fact that she's relinquishing her power to choosing who she wants to either have murdered or recruited, she's taking it out of her own hands. I think that for the second time, it's going to burn her.
Yeah. Like, I love the line, like, you're in the ICU, I'm just walking through the hospital doors or whatever. Like, I love that. And I understand that, but she's being too generous with her traitors who literally have, I mean, Parvati didn't, but they've come for her. So, you know, it could happen. And I was hoping that this would be a little bit of a wake up call, that you need to be a little bit more, not selfish, but just a little bit more aware of the possibility of other people coming for you and just try to get your way a little bit more. Like,
more like Janelle, you know?
Right.
Janelle would never let anybody choose who's getting murdered if it doesn't benefit her 100%.
Exactly. And she really needs to embody that as the role of a traitor up in that tower, instead of be like, sure, do what you want. Because you just had them. You did not want to go after Bergie. And you just had them go after Bergie. And look at the downfall of that. So why are you now allowing someone else just to come up with, you know, another choice?
Maybe she thinks, it's going to bite her Parvati in the butt.
Maybe.
But she doesn't know that Trishelle is suspicious now. So, and they wouldn't have showed us that diary room, the confessional,
if there's wasn't no follow-up to it. Yeah,
exactly. Important.
Foreshadowing,
especially with this decision that they just made and her being like, I'm not hurt, like, you need this more than me. I think that once again,
Peter becomes a traitor, won't the faithfuls, I mean, they're gonna know that someone was recruited, but because the shield was won in front of everyone,
I mean, maybe they can pretend that Sheree got murdered.
That's a Dan move. Oh, sorry. But I just think that they'll know someone's recruited, but the likelihood that recruit would be Peter, I don't know if they would think that they would go, because that's quite bold. Yeah, so I don't think it's a surefire, like, saying that it's like, you weren't killed. It's just meaning that there's
no one would be killed. So
yeah, exactly.
You're gonna know someone was recruited.
Yeah, and I think there could be many reasons for many people. So
yeah, I wonder who they're gonna try to deflect the recruitment on. I would push it on to CT, right? So if they're, yeah, definitely those are recruited.
I don't know. I don't think like specifically the traitors, who would they deflect it on? I mean, or like Peter.
Mary's asking if Trishelle's suspicious of Faye just for like proper reasons, or is it another Pepperin situation? No, I think that I was saying this before I saw Trishelle's confessional. I was like, it's bad that Dan went hard for Phaedra, because Phaedra has, especially if Dan is proven to be a traitor.
Then
he would know, this is what Trishelle said, and I agree with, that he was trying to give us a traitor so that we would relinquish our desire to like get him out as traitor.
Or even exactly. And if they happen to go that way, then you're like, see, it wasn't me. And it just completely, you know, validates that you're a faithful. I mean, it's a common thing that happens in these games. So whereas Trishelle at the beginning, and some people were coming for us for saying so, but I will still stand by it. I still stand by what I said about Trishelle at the beginning when she was going for Peppermint, because that's not right. But in this situation, I think Trishelle is going based on, gameplay and what's actually happening in front of her face. So
100%. Because like it's true.
It's true. And it's a common thing that they do. So that traitors often do in these situations. So
it's like 100%. You're going to be like, hey, you know what? I've been watching you since the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
Really?
Right? If you watch, I mean, it's over now, but if you watch the UK version, someone does that nearing the end to someone else and you're like another traitor and you're like, there's no even argument about it. It's just like, or like reasons given. It's just like, I've been watching them and I think it's them out of nowhere. And I'm like, but it's such a common thing that they do. Yeah. So I'm worried for Phaedra just because that's like, Dan, why do you got to do that?
Wait, Natalie says, not Dan calling out Rob on his Twitch for not present more about his exit interview. Oh, I guess
not being present.
Not just going to be there. And saying that he knew Rob Sesternino since he was in diapers. Rob is older than you. Rob is a year older than me, which means he's 5 years older than Dan.
Yeah, Dan's my age. Dan's my age, 83, baby.
So, I mean, he probably has known him for a while, but not diapers. I wonder why Rob's not going to be there, though.
Maybe he knew Rob C since Dan was in diapers. So maybe he's always
and
known
saying
him.
He, oh, know. Oh, Dan. Know Rob was saying that he knew Dan since he was in diapers.
Yeah, yeah. Or, right. Well, no, I just mean like Dan might have been saying that he knew Rob since he was in diapers. Like, if I knew Rob,
Dan was in diapers, he knew Rob.
Yeah.
I got it. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's also not true. But I think he's just upset that he's not going to be there. But maybe he was just like, oh, maybe I don't want to have to call you out on your shitty gameplay.
I mean, it might be a good thing that he's not there. Because
Rob's going to be like, what are you doing? Like, this is the service. Like, he's definitely going to come for him. Like, I don't know why you'd want to have to face the wrath of Rob.
I know a lot of people were saying like, oh, well, Dan's been really active. And like, why would he be this active if like he like goes out early or all these things too?
People were saying that, and I was kind of like, wrong. Well, like, probably just get ahead of the story here.
Yeah. I mean, because he can't be, exactly. But also like he's not irrelevant, but I mean like, he's just like less of importance the second half of the game, cause he's not in it. So it's like, that's why he's doing it now.
Oh, since the podcast was in diapers. Okay.
Oh,
so like in 2010, 11-ish area. Okay. Mm. Oh yeah. That's probably when his season was on. Okay. Got it. Well, I'll find out to see if like why he's not going to be there. Cause I would think that Rob would really want to talk to him. Cause like who's Puya talking to him with? Chappelle? I wonder. I'll see if I can get to the bottom of this. All right. First into breakfast is Kate. Kate's talking about how she thrives being miserable. How do you like Kate this season? I know some people don't like Kate at all. I like Kate.
Right. I like Kate. You know, last season I felt like she was playing this whole, I don't want to be here, but I'm going to be here. And you could tell she really wanted to be there though. You know what I mean? And so I don't mind it. If she kind of plays the same thing again and again, you know, it's going to get tired real quick. Like, you know, don't get to the round table at the end and be like, well, I've only been here a second. I don't know. Like last time it was like, I'm just going with the crowd. This time it was like, I'm just whatever. You know, I get that it's been a couple days, but I just want that needs to change. So I don't want her kind of being the same attitude that she had last season. But I think she has a lot of potential to, you know, be really enjoyable so far. It's just a little bit of a bumpy start for me personally.
So Amy here is saying that Sharon Tharp just tweeted that Dan said he doesn't think he can ever play Big Brother or any other games again. That's a bummer. I still want to see him on shorter legend seasons. I think because he got snowed so easily.
Feelings will be hurt and people change their minds. So that could be true. I mean, now.
Yeah, the price is right. Anybody can.
Yeah. So.
But I think that he's embarrassed though.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I feel bad for him, but it's like, you know, that's what you get for coming out with these, like, humble yourself, that you could come out with these. I mean, I don't know if he's specifically about his game that he's so great and all this stuff, but when you reference like Dan's funeral and I pulled my, you know, and talk so greatly about yourself, there's just never been like a humble thing there. And I'm like, I think people like him or like former Big Brother winner, Derek, you know, those people are afraid to like play again if they can't live up to what they were. And I get it, but at least Dan took a risk and I can definitely appreciate that. And
but the thing is though, if you want to actually be that good, you have to play a few times.
Yeah,
right.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and he played twice. Dan played twice and he did well twice.
And, yeah. And you have to fall as well and you have to see where your mistakes are. And it's hard when you haven't done that. So now I think if anything, Dan is more established to do well in something because now he's fallen so hard so fast in gameplay that he's like, okay, this is what it's like to crash and burn.
Absolutely.
You learn.
Like, I've played a bunch of these games and I've done well in a lot of them, but I've also done not so well. And like, I was able to be like, you learn how it feels when like people aren't believing you, when people lose trust for you, yes, when people are going to vote you out and they're lying to your face. Like you don't get to experience that when nobody's ever written your name down. So nobody's ever lied to you. And so you don't really have enough data or information to continuously be a good player because you don't know fully how people or how you are affecting people.
Yeah.
And so this is actually, I think I agree with you, is a good thing if he ever wants to play these games again, because he got a lot of information as to what works and what doesn't work, and he could now be able to come in with a more educated perspective. Like he now will know, I mean, he should have known going in, but he will now know that you, as a trader, you got to give a name, you got to act like a faithful when you're a trader.
Yeah.
And you can't just be like, oh, I'm just saving for my one Hail Mary and then I'll give you a trader. Like it's just not.
Well, he'll just be more consistent the more he plays. Like, you know, talking about just online games, last year alone, I won a Mole one, I won a Big Brother one, I came in second for the Circle, and at the couple other ones that I played, I was pretty much jury. I mean, I wasn't pre-jury anything that had a jury. So, you know, there's just consistency to your game when you have, you know, when you lose, right? So, yeah. So I think he won't take that to heart in the long run. It's just right now, I agree with you. That is, it's hard on the ego. So.
Absolutely. Like it would suck. It's just, especially because people have just been waiting for him to come back. But I just wish that he maybe talked to some people about how to play a little bit. Like, I don't know. I feel like the mistakes that he made were easily rectifiable. And if he had watched like all the seasons that were available before he went shooting, I feel like he would learn what mistakes not to make. Like, I feel like he didn't even educate himself with a lot of seasons.
It seems like it. So I don't know if he did, but it seems like it. Yeah.
If anything, like that would be the one thing that he could have done that would have allowed him to be a better trader.
Yeah.
Like, he probably just did Ceri's game and thought that it would just, because Ceri didn't really offer up that much. She wasn't like in the background, but like, I think he was trying to play Ceri's game.
Right.
Which worked for Ceri, but not for him, you know?
Or like Janelle said, like Dan plays opossum for, you know, until
opossum he... Opossum or opossum? I never know.
Opossum with an O in front of it. But people often say possum. I mean, it might be possum in like other parts of the world or something. Don't quote me. But it's opossum here. You know, it's you play that and you just play kind of dead essentially until you have the numbers or whatever she said. And I think he just laid low too long. and just didn't do enough. So I was very happy to have what played out in this episode play out. So anyway, are we at breakfast still? Back to breakfast.
Yeah, we're still at Kate's first breakfast. Parv and Sheree enter. They ask Kate what she thinks. She thinks it's going to be a Bravo girl that's going to be murdered. But just to satisfy this one question that I was asking, both Possum and Opossum correctly refer to the Virginia opossum, frequently seen in North America in common use. Possum is the usual term in technical or scientific context. Opossum is preferred. Opossum can be pronounced with the first syllable or either voiced or silent. Possum.
Correct. Yeah, right. I knew there was like two versions, like they're both kind of right, but I think like, yeah, here it's, we often say opossum, but anyway.
Mary wants to have Dan destroy Derek and Nicole and BB legend. Tony also flopped the second time and then won. Yeah, that's true. Like a lot of big Survivor players have come back and lost, and then and then won again, like Tony has here. So I definitely think that there's a learning curve in coming back to play these games. So I don't know if I want to see the three of them though again. Dan, Derek, and Nicole. I'm good right now.
I don't either.
I'm good. I've seen Nicole.
There's just other people I want to see more. You know what I'm saying?
Games like Derek, Winner Circle. I don't agree with his takes, so I don't know if I need to see him. And Dan, I just saw him on this, and I think I need some time before I see him again.
I read Derek's book.
Oh, go on.
No.
Is it? But his book is about like law stuff, right? Or is it about his brother?
It's about winning and like detective stuff. It's about like having like a certain mindset going into things and like being able to like succeed and winning and stuff like that and gameplay and all that. I mean, I'll give you the book if you want to.
Okay.
Yeah.
We should review it.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's go chapter by chapter. And like,
I don't think I want to do that. It's very like, okay, Derek, calm down.
Right. I definitely understand that. I don't think that he's one of the greatest winners of all time. Yes, it's impressive that he got to the end the way that he did, but I was never that impressed by his game, personally. I also wasn't that impressed by Dan's, but I went with the narrative of the
Yeah. I mean, it's there are more, to me, I agree with you, though. There are more impressive people that have lost games. It's just like, you know, and I just think that their gameplay is so good, but they just didn't have that last. And a lot of this is chance too. There's a lot of strategy. There's some luck as well. So, you know, they just didn't have that luck element, but they played such a great game. So I feel like there are such strong people who don't have the, that I prefer to see over some of the more recent people that we're just talking about. But yeah.
So CT, Dan, and Sandra come in. And Dan in his confessional says that he took a great risk with Bergie. Like, why is he taking this risk?
Yeah, why did you need to take that risk?
There is another plan that he could have, like, I would think, come up with. Like, he has three very smart women, or two smart women that he could have bounced ideas off of and being like, okay, obviously I can't go for Bergie because I don't know if he has a shield or not. Like, let's do worst case scenario. And that is Peter is trying to bamboozle us and Bergie has the shield. Maybe we should, you know, call his bluff and maybe we should just go for Peter, or we should just play it safe completely and go for somebody inside the house. Just spitball a bunch of different ideas. It's just shocking that he took that risk.
Yeah. And convinced even when met with some, you know, opposition for that. It was, and by the way, the way that John spoke at the
you were obsessed, right?
I was living for that too. I mean, I was like, God, I'm like, where did you come from? Like with that kind of, I was like, damn, okay, all right.
Yeah, maybe John would have been a good idea because John was inside. John is part of that group. John, he's not necessarily influential, but he's a number for that side, and he trusts in them wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. So John would have probably been decent. Remove John. Who is he? Oh wait, who is no? He who knows he's faithful,
yeah,
and he has no shield. Yeah. Absolutely, and he was on the inside, and he was definitely hard-headed. Didn't trust his teammates. His ego.
Ego. Yeah. Ego. I think you can smell the ego from here sometimes with these people. And by the way, I mean, we're not there yet at the breakfast, but we've kind of been all over the place. But like their faces at the breakfast were, you can't edit a face. Like they were only reacting to that. So like that is like fact. And someone commented on that too. It's like, we're atrocious. I'm like, they're not just not playing a good game as they think they are. So
at all. So Sandra thinks that it's going to be John that is not going to come back. Like he's going to be murdered. Next in is Phaedra, then MJ. And Phaedra is thinking that maybe it's going to be Bergie. She adores Bergie. And then Peter come in and Kevin. They're like, good morning. And then it's John. And so they're all like, oh my God, it's Bergie. And I kind of wish that Trishelle says, well, it can't be Bergie because me and Bergie won the shield. Like, I wish she had said it then. But I guess they were just like, yeah, just let them speculate for a little bit.
Well, and then you get to see their faces, right? Like, see, like as he's walking in, you could be like studying all their faces to see who's a little thrown off by that.
Melody said that Dan did a live where he readily admitted his mistakes and also talked about some of his early ties to people who were banished. Sure, but he was told very soon, as soon as they recruited Harvardy, that he was not acting like a faithful.
And so that multiple rounds he was told that, and he didn't do anything about it. But I mean, yeah, it's like him admitting it. Of course he's going to, because otherwise you're delusional, because the world can see that you weren't playing a good game. There's a lot of mistakes there. I'm interested in hearing about the like the relevance of the early ties to people who were banished. Like, was he saying like it, you know, made him lean a certain direction or, you know?
Well, like, I think maybe it made him be lazy because Janelle was saying that she knew from the beginning that Dan was a traitor and they were still working together. So maybe he was still working with people that knew he was a traitor or whatever. And so like, he kind of could get away with it because they weren't going to say his name.
Right.
Maybe. I don't know. I would like to know the significance of that too. So Dan, and this is another thing that he did that I thought was really, really bad. He would already give out his alibi right before anything happens, right? So he's like, oh yeah, do you know what? Like someone might pin it on me. And then if someone pins it on him, like it'd be like, I see, I said that someone was going to pin it on me, like when Bergie dies.
I know.
Like, come on!
Yeah, he was trying that one too. I saw that and it's like, It's not slick. It's not slick. You know.
I mean, I know being a traitor is really hard, and like we are critiquing from the outside, looking in on a game show that we're not playing, but it seems like there were some things that he could have done better. Trishelle and John were the last two in. Dan thinks that it worked, that Bergie is gone, and he's like, game on, we got him. And I'm like, Nope. Because knock, 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 Bergie enters. And like Dan has like a fake. Can you do Dan's reaction?
Yeah, it's him and Poverty. We're both like, it's like, you know, when your child comes home with a tattoo and you're like, okay, those can be removed. It was just like this. Right. You know. And they're both doing it. And I was expecting Poverty's like normal.
But I don't know if you saw it, but hopefully I can find it. Somebody on, I think it was Twitter, posted Poverty on her first season of Survivor on the boat, making those faces. So like, she's been doing it for the last 15 years.
Why have we not noticed this then? Like, why is it just,
but, like, on the boat, like, on Survivor?
You just have to like hold yourself a certain way too. Those shoulders down. I'm not pouting my lips, but I am. I mean, they both had the same face, which was like a dead giveaway if anyone was looking.
Now, do you think that Peter should have played it a bit better?
At the breakfast? Like, yeah, oh, like we got him. I'm just curious. I don't necessarily see a negative to that. I mean, you want it out there so people might inquire, like, what are you talking about? Like, what's going on? Rather than keeping it silent and then the faces. But if you keep it silent and then just pull it up at the last second, people won't process it. So I'm glad he was talking about it earlier rather than later. Like, don't just leave it to the round table to jump on people, because people already have their own thoughts in their head and might not be able to be persuaded. So
yeah, sure. They're actually getting ahead of it. And just I'm giving you all this information so you can be watching them and grilling them this whole time to see how they're going to react to me saying, I only told three people where the shield was. And he named CT, Parvati, and Dan as the three people. And again, Dan doesn't come out ahead. CT immediately, like somebody that is being wrongly fully accused, was like, he told me, but I didn't say anything to anybody. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Oh, and that was, and it was Peter. Peter was like, oh, I watched their faces, and Parvati and Dan were giving it away. Where CT, and that's what he even said later, I think CT's a faithful. And it's based on, he said earlier, his face. He's like, he was like very, you know, like the rest of them. Whereas Parvati and Dan were not. So, I mean, it's true. I was like, okay, Peter, go off. You know how to study people's faces. All right.
I mean, that's exactly what I'd be doing, though. I'd be staring at the faces of the people that I told.
100%. Yeah.
So, someone gave Bergie a death warrant. Bergie's so cute. I was not gonna, like, excited for him to be on the cast. And he really is, like, so sweet. I've seen little stills of his interviews with Janelle. And it seems like Janelle is so endeared to Bergie as well. And it's just, like, everybody just loves Bergalicious.
Well, that's the role that he played on Love Island, right? So it's like that.
I was annoyed by him on Love Island, but now
because at first it was like, you know, it was like, it takes me back to season one of Paradise Hotel. Sharla, you know, she was kind of bullied, and then like more nerdy people came on, and then they teamed up and they all kicked butt and they made it to the end and won. Like Dave came on, and there's two others, I forget what their names are, but it brings me back to that. Like, I feel like casting like someone who's a little, you know, off center to the rest of the cast that you've cast. And then, but they're really like a sweetheart that you kind of, you know, root for. I mean, that's what he brings to whatever game he's in. So I'm glad that he's done well in the Spotlight Challenge. He's, you know, kind of been right with where he's going, and him and Peter have like been teaming up, and he found his own little clique there. And so hilarious later on when they fully closed that door. Before Poverty said anything, I was like, that door is closed by. I was like, dang. Like, not even ajar. Like, it was closed.
Checkmate, Peter says, talks about the leaking information. Who'd you leak it to? It was leaked. CT says it was leaked to me, but I told no one. And then Poverty's like, well, it was leaked to me. Oh, no, Dan says, it was leaked to me, but I'm not a traitor. The third person to say it, though. Like, he should have been out in front with that, being like, what do you mean you leaked it to me? Like, I don't know. I thought you're just telling it to be confident. Like, he should have said something instead of like waiting to respond about that. Like, he should have had a response in the vault. He needed to be ready with more.
It shows processing, and you know, it shows like, oh wait, I need to say anything in case I'm called out on this. But you needed that time to think about it. And whereas like people like Phaedra, who John even asked her after the banishment tonight, he's like, did you have any notice? Like, did you know? And she's like, no, because she's so good at being on the fly, lawyer. And, you know, and Dan needed that processing time, which is a big giveaway. So I agree with you. You need to think of like any scenario and come up with what you're going to say if, even if you think it's unlikely, if that happens, you know, and this was a possibility that he was aware of. So
absolutely. You have to be like, if this doesn't go the way that I think it is, what is my contingency plan here? How am I going to react? Because it's going to be at breakfast where everybody's going to be looking at me, realizing that somebody with a shield was attempted murder. And I'm going to need to have a reaction and say something. Because what if Peter calls me out and say, like, I told you that.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
It's shocking. It's shocking that he just hasn't thought these things through.
Because like you said last week, you said last week, like, what are you doing at night when you go to your room? Like, what are you thinking about? Like, crosswords? They give you some Sudoku? Or what are you doing?
Well, like, me and you, we play these games together. And me and him, like, me and Jonathan will be on talking to each other about the game.
Yeah.
All night long.
All night. Obsessively.
Yeah. All night long. And like, we'll run every single scenario. Like, I just can't imagine playing a game for money on television and not doing at least that. Like, I would not be sleeping. There's no sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, again, like, what were you doing? Like, why were you not thinking of it, of backup plans and contingency things to say? I don't know. I can't wait to see interviews.
Yeah, me too. You know,
exit interview. Yeah, for sure.
I just need some, he has some explaining to do, for sure. Okay, so Alan in his kilt and his blue beret and blouse come into the breakfast room saying that this next challenge is going to take strength and balance for this mission. And so they have a little bit of time to kind of chit-chat, and they're going to meet for the mission later. So Peter immediately says that Dan and Parv were squirming, but he also doesn't think that CT was a traitor because of how, like, his reaction was normal. It was like the rest of us. So Peter then is talking to MJ and Phaedra. And Phaedra in her confessional is like, every traitor for themselves. Because she knows that, like, I think that that's what she's trying to play. Is like, she wants Parvati and Dan just to bury themselves.
Yeah.
I think that she doesn't realize, though, how scrappy they are.
Yeah. And you're also missing an opportunity to set yourself up if you allow them to just do what they want. So,
and I think that that's her lack of social strategy experience, like these games. If she'd played one game before, she would know that, like, never give my enemies or my opponents any leverage here. Like, take it all for myself. Yeah, I think she should have put herself in a better position as opposed to letting Parvati and Dan do anything. Like, because them doing this, like, even Dan, right? Yes, he took himself out of the game with his decision, but she got blowback because he came for her on her way out. And it might not have happened if you convinced him to do something differently.
Exactly. So. No, exactly. 100%.
So Parvati goes to talk to Peter, and she's like, how are you not a traitor? And I mean, I get it, Parvati. She's trying anything, but Peter's just like, at this point, like, I can't, like, I have to just go with this. Like, yeah. I think you're a traitor. And if you're not, then Dan is. But sorry, like, you're
very I hope those conversations were short-lived, because she needs to be spending her time convincing other people. And like, if people are like locked in on you and that's the head of it, you're not going to tell them otherwise. So like, you need to figure something else out. I mean, but she mentioned a couple times, she's like, I'm really good at getting into situations and like things like that today. And I'm like, okay, well, let's see what happens. We'll see. I mean,
well, and that's another thing though. Like, Peter was like, I'm trying to work with you. And she still like gives him nothing. She could have been like, just give him a name, or been like, I know that it's hard,
yeah,
but like,
I think he knows.
She's not acting like a faithful. She's acting like a traitor that's trying to defend herself.
She really is, though. She's acting like a traitor, like 100%. So, yeah.
You're like, okay, you got me.
Yeah. And if and you had said, you know, off camera that, like, Janelle had said that she also called out Parvati, and that was cut from the episode. So, I mean, I think on the back of that happening as well, you know, it's like when people are coming for you, I don't know, maybe she just is not in the mindset to be like, how do I pivot right now?
I don't know how you pivot, but I would have figured out a better plan. I would not have let Dan do this one. I'd be like, Dan, no.
Yeah, exactly.
She should have just said no. So, especially, do you know what? They said no, especially since Peter told her as well. If Peter hadn't told Parvati and just told Dan and someone else and CT, and she wasn't going to get any direct blowback from that information, okay, maybe then I could side with how Parvati's dealing with the situation. She should, but I think because she was also told, she should not have gone for Bergie or let him go for Bergie.
Yeah.
Okay, so Dan and Peter talk next. What was Dan swigging? Was that like scotch out of like a little Mickey?
Something like that, yeah.
I was like, am I Does he drink? I didn't know he drank. Like, what was this little tincture that he was swigging? And Dan is like, he's playing like, oh, you know, it's just weird that you did what you did. What? No, it's not weird that he did what he did. Like, of course you're going to try to set your enemies up into a trap to see if you could get more information, because there's nothing to go on in this game. And so the fact that you're like one of the best strategists in like competitive reality game shows, and you think that everything, oh, that's weird. And oh, I can't believe that. Why would they do that? Like, acting so dumb. Like, it just doesn't work, Dan. It's so confusing why he thought it would work.
Yeah, it doesn't work, especially when you're dealing with other personalities. Like, these are all celebrity personalities. So they're not just someone from some small town that you can win over for, you know, because they are just looking up to you or something. It, you know, I don't know what he's thinking. I mean, almost every step of the way, I thought Dan was doing, especially in today's episode, the wrong thing or saying the wrong thing. Like, it just didn't. I mean, maybe there was a moment somewhere in there in the middle where I was like, can he turn this around? But it was brief. It was a brief moment where I was like, no.
Well, like, if we're talking about the round table when he was setting up his argument, like, it could have worked. This is basically his like Dan's funeral kind of, you know, traitor's version 2.0. But the problem is he didn't have the trust of the people. And so for the most part, everybody's just started laughing at him, because they're like, oh, now you have all this to say, and this big old like fanfare and like the dramatics and like, this is why. And then, okay, that takes this person out of the equation, this person out of the, like, it was so dramatic, and you hadn't been dramatic at all. It didn't make any sense. It wasn't linear. Peter, though, says to Dan, like, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And that's just kind of how you have to go at this point. It's like, we've gone for people for less and have been wrong. So let's go for somebody with more evidence. And yeah, we have to see it through.
See what happens. Yeah, exactly.
Especially since up until that point, they haven't been giving any other names. They gave Janelle's name, who was banished. So they couldn't throw their hat on anybody else. All right, so the mission is some medieval thing where they're going to make $20,000. They have to fire a cannonball. They have 60 minutes to do this mission, gathering all the catapult pieces, pulling it all up a hill. There's going to be shields. Only one person is going to win a shield, but there's going to be boxes of shield armor or ammo that they have to pick up and bring as well. They have to get the catapult and fling the cannonball in order for the shield to be active, we'll say. This one kind of sucked. It looked really heavy, and these are not the most fit people, we'll say. Pretty much CT was doing the bulk of like the pulling. I felt bad.
Yeah, I know I said that the bird one was my least favorite, but then I was like, oh yeah, I watched like three episodes back to back, because they get released like three in a week. So I'm like, oh yeah, there were a couple challenges that I didn't really like, and this was the other one, unfortunately. Like, you know, and then there are better challenges that happen. This was not great for me either, but I did like, you know, we do open up basically where they rather quickly get to the water, and Trishelle pulled a Janelle.
I loved it too. You know, and like,
there he was like helping her through the water. Kevin was helping her, and she's like,
when she sees the shield box, and she like, sorry, like, Kevin. And he's so mad at her.
But they're like, you know, elbows being thrown in that water, and they're like going after each other. I'm like, this is what I watch this show for.
Dan didn't want obviously Peter to get a shield, but he does get a shield box, and so does Sheree. She gets a shield box, so they're carrying these things up the hill. I saw this too. I thought it was so cute.
I saw that too. I was gonna say something about it. Yes.
Like, she was just looking like a damsel in distress, and like CT was helping her. It was so cute.
Yeah, I saw it before they had to like push anything. They were like holding hands together. I was like, oh my God. Yeah, can CT, that's the thing. That's like, will CT ever vote Pedro out? Will he have her back? Like, you don't need to recruit someone like CT, and you definitely don't murder someone like CT if you're like Phaedra being a traitor, because you know that he probably has your back more than a lot of the others. That was so, it was so cute. Yeah.
It was so cute. Like, I mean, they're not going to ever date, but like, I kind of want him to, her to, him to be her, like, I don't know, assistant at her house or something. And he'd just like, I don't know, work out outside or something. Oh, I didn't hear him say Castle Daddy. Oh, oh wait, I did.
Yeah, that's on Watch What Happens Live.
I took the clip to share with you last week, and I forgot.
No, I saw it on TikTok or something. Like Castle Daddy, and he's like, "Oh, Castle Daddy." Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I saw
if
that.
If I can find it right now, I'll try to play it for us. But so cute. He says, "Your Castle Daddy,"
and she like mentions it. She just like slides it in there too. I like.
You see, he's my Castle Daddy. Okay, so they're pulling all that heavy stuff up the hill. I'd hate that, to be honest. Like, heavy things is really, it's something that I don't enjoy doing. Parvati does get a shield box. And so they all have to get their shield boxes up onto the hill. So they kind of do this. And so, yeah, Alan's at the top, and he's like, okay, you got to bring your, put your shield boxes on this stand or whatever it is. And Kate is with all the other women or the other people that were pulling up just like the shield boxes with some, I don't know, the two materials for the catapult. And Kate was going to maybe take the shield box, but then Peter is like, no way. So he goes and he runs, he takes the box and he puts it on the place.
Yeah, she just put it down. But I was like, that's probably a smarter move. I don't think you're going to get murdered, Kate. And, but I did like when Sandra was getting hers. She was like, oh, this is a shield box? Ah. But I'll just take this one. But yeah, I wanted to see more cutthroat. And people just seem to be like, okay, you get it. All right. And I'm like, guys, this is going to save you. Like, there's like potentially, you know. The only thing I didn't like about this is that when they actually went to go play it, it just didn't feel like a skill set. Like they weren't like, you didn't see them adjusting it. Like, oh, that person shot like this. Let me adjust. Like it wasn't, it was just like, luck.
I don't like luck. So yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted like, you know, maybe that they each have a two shots and they each take like one as practice and then a second one, but of something that you could like control more, you know?
100%. I like skill over luck any day.
But I do like that they were scattered and that you could be like elbowing people to go after them. Mm-hmm. You know, I as much as I liked the idea of an armory last season, this is so much better because of that cutthroat element to it. I mean, it gave us Trishelle, you know, and Kevin, you know, exactly.
Kevin was so mad. And it's like, they're just like, Trishelle's like, Kevin, you're not going to need this. Like, you're not even playing this game. Like,
yeah, Kevin just, Kevin just bothers me a little bit.
Agreed. I agree. So they do, they get all the material up onto the hill and they put it all together. They have like 30 seconds to launch it. They elect John to launch the cannon. And I was like, did they really hit the bullseye? Like, I just was like, really? Like, they landed it. And so they do get their $20,000. And that means that the people that had the shield box will be able to aim the cannon and see whether or not they will hit, who is closest to the bullseye. So the order was Sandra, who's pretty close, Parvati, Trishelle, Sheree, who then is closer than Sandra. And then Peter does it and he's out of it. So Sheree won. Great. Boring.
Yeah. I mean, doesn't need it. Is often forget Sheree's in this game.
It's just annoying to me because, like, Sheree's always like, well, I want a shield. I want a shield. And it's like, you're not really playing the game. Like, I think she only wants a shield because she knows the people that are playing the game wants the shield. But they play in the game because they're playing the game. That's why they want the shield. It's because they're going to get murdered because they're onto the traitors, not because it makes them game players.
Yeah. And as a faithful, you should be thinking like, if I don't want this for myself, then who, like, I'm not opposed, like, throwing mine away. If I think like I need to protect people who I think are faithfuls and they have the shields, let me go throw this in the creek so no one else gets it. And I just don't even have a chance because I don't want it anyway. And I just think it should be like, you know, Peter or who, you know what I mean? Like, so it's kind of being a bad faithful is that you're like taking up a spot that
somebody that's likely going to get murdered.
Right. And that they need. So yeah, not great.
I really wish that she was like, you know what, Peter did just like really help us get a traitor out of here, like with his shield play. Like, let's, I mean, they couldn't do anything about it, but Sheree didn't need to have that down.
Yeah. Right? Well, if they could have thrown it, I don't think she would have. And I'm saying, like, you should have, because you were not going to be murdered. I mean, it's hard to say what their perception is. Maybe they just have no idea and they think they're just as eligible being murdered than anyone else. But
maybe they just don't think that there's any logic or rhyme or reason how these murders play out.
Right. I mean, who knows what she's thinking? So
annoying. So they do win. That will have $95,500 in the total prize pot after the mission. So in the car, Kate thinks it's 100% poverty. In the other car, they were saying Dan again, right? They're like saying like, oh, you know, Dan, I'm still suspicious of Dan. And then Kevin is like, well, he hasn't really done anything though.
Yeah. See what I mean about Kevin? See what I mean about Kevin?
All I wrote is, shut up, Kevin.
Yeah. Do a little t-shirts. I would buy that. Shut up, Kevin. T-shirts? Yeah.
Should I make those t-shirts? Shut up, Kevin.
Well, it's just like, you know, voting for Peter and him, Peter voted. It's just ever since then, like, Peter has, you know, gone up. He's thinking things through. Kevin, I'm just like, Kevin, what are you doing, Kevin?
I liked Quentin better than I like Kevin, though. Because, like, he's so, I feel like the way that Kevin is, like, he's kind of arrogant and pompous about, like, but he hasn't done anything, though. And he knows better and, like, he's smarter than everybody, but he's, like, actually the least smart out of them all, strategically anyways. Parvati, though, is she wants to murder Peter. And I'm like, why are you guys, like, going for this low-hanging fruit? Like, you can't go for Peter. It's too obvious. And just to say that, like, oh, it's too obvious, that's why you can go for him. It's not. It's Trishelle would clock that in a second.
Yeah, I think she would.
So Parvati does really want to dismantle Peter's group. That's basically when your favorite moment is when they completely shut Parvati out of the room. Do they have a name for their alliance yet?
Not that I heard, but I mean, it's just so funny how obvious they're being. Not that it really matters, but then Parvati's the one to walk. Like, send someone else in Parvati. Like, get other people to do your dirty work. Like, send someone out and then follow them in. Like, oh, what's going on here? Like, being all innocent. Not walking through and be like, so you had the door closed on me. Like an evil queen of the castle, you know? It's like, how? Of course you're the traitor. Like, of course you are. Because you were, like, do the, you know, maniacal laugh. Yeah, absolutely. Like, you weren't acting like that when you weren't a traitor. But it's like, you know, send Sandra in or something. Like,
it wasn't on purpose.
Did I call her Parvati?
Not on purpose.
Parvati.
Yeah, I think Parvati's out
there. Yeah, I mean, I don't know that she can get out of what
the groundwork has already been laid.
Got herself into. It's kind of like a Dan thing. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, anything could happen. Whereas last week I was certain Dan was going this week, but I think,
well, I thought at one point that Parvati was going to be going because, like, Kate being like, yeah, I think Parvati is it. And, like, maybe they'll just go for Parvati this time around. Cause even Peter really thought it was going to be Parvati, you know? So,
cause he voted for her.
Well, he was saying that he thinks it's Parvati for sure.
Oh yeah. 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 Yeah, but
I don't know why he didn't think that it could be both of them.
He's like, well, I think he did. He's like, I know we have the votes on Dan, but, you know, in case I get murdered, I want you to know that it's like, I know he was kind of referencing like it's one of them, but I do feel like they do believe it could possibly be both. So, I mean, to me, like I was saying last week, you have to know that the traitors were only in that group and not outside. So,
yeah, they haven't mentioned that, which I wish they did.
There has to be multiple in that group. So it's not just who you said it to. It needs to be multiple within the inside group. And yeah, we haven't heard that expressed yet. So,
you know what? Yeah, no, I mean, I wish that they had mentioned that, but maybe it's just because it's not going to be relevant.
Right.
They have. I guess. Because, like, who's left in, like, the inside group? It's going to be just CT, Sandra, John. Three or two traders now.
But they did tell John.
Oh, maybe John's a trader.
So he was in the know.
No. Peter and Dan do have another talk. And this is where Dan is like laying the groundwork for his theatrics in the round table. He's asking for an open ear for his theory. And he's not going to say anything right now. He's saving it all for the round table. And it's like, that's again, like saving it all for the round table. It seems like a last ditch effort. I said he is desperate. It is too obvious. That was my perspective.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think that people genuinely, because Peter made a reference of he was confident that they had the votes on Dan going in. That's why he's voting for Parvati. But do you think that like when like CT's like, yeah, I'm going to go in there open. Do you think people were just like feeding him whatever, or they genuinely were convinced by the actions that took place in the round table? The fact that Phaedra was so strong in her defense in like an appropriate manner, where, you know, Dan fumbled a few times. It's like, do you think they were convinced then, or do you think going in, this was the plan?
I think that their plan was actually Parvati. I do think that they switched from Parvati to Dan in the moment. Because I know AR here is saying that, like, I remember him, Peter, yeah, saying, like,
we have enough votes to go for Dan, yeah, but I'm going to vote not Dan because it could be her too.
Guys. But I think that, like, because Kate wanted to go for Parvati, right?
And in so the I car,
like,
yeah.
In the car, and, like, I feel like there's a few other people that were Parvati. Even Peter was saying, like, I think Parvati's a traitor, but then with the whole thing that went down, it was between the two of them, of course. And I think that people that might have gone Parvati leaned towards Dan after roundtable theatrics. But
yeah,
I guess we'll never know, really. I haven't watched the postmortem yet. All right, so roundtable. Dan's like, since day one, I've been watching this person. It's like, no. Let's play a little game. Raise your hand if your name has been written down, and people raise their hands, and then people whose names hasn't been written down has been Bergie, Sheree, Sandra, Parvati, and Phaedra. Phaedra's starting to look pissed because, yeah, like, he was just like narrowing down, like, so then we have to look at what votes are, like, what votes are off here. And so then he decides to, you know, exonerate Bergie and Sheree and Sandra.
But for what reason? Like, he was making up reasons. I'm like, this is the most ludicrous argument ever, because you're like, okay, but it could be these people. But guess what? It's not this person because I'm saying so. And it's not this person because I don't think they look like it. Like, there was no valid reasons. And he was like, but it's probably you because right, it is.
Because you wrote down Ekansu.
I was just like, this isn't not a good argument. Like, my blood was boiling. I'm like, these people better not fall for this, because this is the worst argument I've seen anyone make.
I was worried that they would fall for it because it was just so, like, so theatrical, and he was so proud of it.
But I'm like, just listen to the words. They're not making sense, but it couldn't be Bergie, because I'm telling you it's not. But, you know, like, it's like that's fact, you know? I'm like, no, it's not how arguments work, but okay.
They could use the same logic, the NH? Oh, no. Yeah, they could use the same logic, though, for, I guess, him. Is that what they're saying? Maybe? They could use the same logic for Phaedra, as Phaedra is a traitor, because Dan... Use
the same logic that Phaedra is a traitor because Dan...
Threw?
Well, Dan went after her, which we said earlier, yeah, which is, like, a big, you know...
I mean, I feel like your argument with your phone acting out is more compelling than Dan's at the right table.
Yeah. You could, yeah, for sure. I mean, I'd prefer if Dan said it in a different language, because I would have believed it more than I you know. Yeah, it's not good for Phaedra that Dan was coming after her, yeah.
No, definitely bad for Phaedra. And I went, when Phaedra was like taking in the shots of like Dan basically pointing his finger at her, like, you could see the steam coming out of her ears. Like, she was fuming. And I was like, is she going to be able to get out of this? Because you could see that she was not happy. And I love, though, it was Kate that kind of saved her.
Helped her. Yeah. Yeah. But I also do think, I mean, she did a phenomenal job, Phaedra, but I also think that like, I could believe that that's how Phaedra, you know, would be like someone who's like, don't come for me. I'm coming for you. Like no matter what it was, you know what I mean? Not because she's a traitor as well necessarily. So I think it kind of plays into like being a real housewife and like that kind of character, the fact that you're willing to bite back. I mean, she did a phenomenal job with her defense, though.
And no, I was worried, though, because she was just getting mad, and then he wasn't saying anything, and, like, she was, like, doing something with her mouth, because, like, it just looked like she was getting mad. And then he said something about, like, oh, you know, you were just being so, like, comforting to Larsa, and, like, it's true, she was. And then, like, oh, and you're like, oh, not my Burgalicious. And then Kate's like, what, so Burgalicious is offensive to you? I was like, that broke it. That made his argument. Yeah,
that's your problem. That's your problem, Burgalicious. What? Yeah.
And I think that it broke it from like the tension that was there. Yeah, yeah. And like then it put it into the land of absurdities.
Like, for
this
sure.
Is absurd now. This is absurd. And like, I loved her line. He's like, because he was like, oh, like you're too much. Like you're the way that you're acting is just like, so over the top. And she's like, I do too much because you do too little. And she's like, and then, you know, Kate pipes in like, look at her lashes. Like she's a lot, you know, she's not subtle at all. And like, I love that Kate was defending her and it just allowed her to really be able to combat Dan well. And she ate him up.
And why did no one tell me that Phaedra is so quotable? Like, why haven't I seen more of Phaedra in online, on my TikTok, on like every line she gives? I mean, there was a lot of that in this episode for a lot of people.
Should we start watching Married to Medicine for Phaedra?
I mean, I'm going to have to do all of Phaedra's back catalog of whatever reality show she's been in.
Yeah, let's start watching the old Housewives of Atlanta that I haven't seen. All right. Yeah, she says no one trusts you, Dan. Oh no, I was saying no one trusts you, Dan, so this is not gonna work, unfortunately. Sorry, guys. Why did I say strong clique? So he's kind of talking about like, you know, the strong clique of Peter's clique, and like they're just like, they're trying to divide us, don't listen to them, the traitors are trying to divide us. And like, it was good that they're calling out these things right
before they get a traitor,
to show them like this is what they do to get it off of them. And so I liked it. Dan took his shot, and you know, in his confession, and he basically knows that he's lost at this point. Who said silent slaughterer? I just wrote it down, but I don't know.
I don't remember. Yeah, there's a lot of people.
Maybe it was Alan. All right, so voting. Phaedra voted Dan. Sandra, Dan. Peter, Parvati. John, Dan. For treachery. Wait, what did you say? Treachery. Does treachery deserves to be punished? That was the short of it.
Oh, he went on a little rant there, and I was like, I feel like I'm watching Game of Thrones.
Oh, the silent slaughterer was John. I did write beside his name, kind of.
It's like I'm watching Game of Thrones right now, and I'm loving this John character in it. So, I mean, he took me somewhere. I like went on that journey with him.
I was on that journey. He just like kept going. I might have to like clip that. It was good. Yeah. So Parvati, Dan, Kevin, Dan, Trishelle, Dan, Phaedra, the elegant lawyer. I think he also threw that in as a dig, because like if people are reminded that she's a lawyer, that like her having good defense and being able to have compelling arguments is something to be looking at. I feel like he threw her under the
right
bus.
And I'm like, I don't love that for Dan, because like if you're going out on your own accord, Phaedra did nothing to you. It's like, why can't you be happy for them? And why are you throwing? I know you wanted to, you know, go for someone because you're like, hey, it's like if I give them a traitor and they buy it, then I'm, you know, exonerated almost. But like that little extra stuff was just unnecessary. Mm-hmm. And like you're blaming her for defending herself when you're the one who came after her, right? Like she didn't do anything to you. She's so I'm like, suck it up, Dan. Go home. You know, you're going home. And you don't need to do those little extra little things there to like make sure that she goes when she hasn't done nothing.
So. Yeah, it's giving bitter. It's giving like right. outplayed and like bitter.
Yeah, sore loser a bit.
Yeah, because I think he felt as though, well, Peter, he wasn't giving him any credit for being a decent game player or having any sort of strategic mind sense. And then even with Phaedra here, him and Parvati were just like, well, we can make Phaedra do whatever. Like, she's just a housewife. Like, she's not smart enough. Like, we can do whatever we want with Phaedra. And they learned that they can't. And I'm happy that they learned that lesson, but I'm mad that Dan had to kind of throw her under the bus on his way out. It's kind of like, Dan.
Yeah, exactly.
You got because you're bad gameplay. Why are you trying to out her gameplay because she was playing better than you? Like, come on.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely his bad gameplay. And it's like, I was just about to say this too. And I'm like, if his better gameplay would have been going for Parv because yeah, people were considering it. So, like, why? Like, if you're going to throw anyone under the bus, what are you doing? Like, he really thought that he could, like, beat her and she'll just lie dead or something. I don't know what you thought, because you should have been going for Parv because she was the most suspicious to everyone else. So, like, that, I'm glad that person
brought up. Yeah, and also with it, Parvati already having the suspicion on her, it would have just made sense. Like, it wouldn't, keeping like Phaedra in the game, like if you were to stay, like why would you want Phaedra to be mad at you or trying to throw you under the bus the next time? Like, I just thought it was bad gameplay, but it seems as though he didn't choose to go against Parvati because he respects Parvati as a gamer more than Phaedra. I think that's basically what it was.
And I agree. And I think that's his mistake because, you know, if it worked, Parv's gone, you know, Phaedra's still there. I don't know that, you know, Phaedra would have acted out towards Dan. Whereas like, you know, been like, oh, look, he's going to come for me. She'd be like, cause she thought Parv was before. And she was like, you better not try that. But, you know, like if he just went after Parv and didn't say anything about Phaedra, I don't know that Phaedra would have. She might have been like, don't do that to me. But I don't think she would have been like after him. So I just think that would have been the smarter move going after Parv, just because, I mean, if you have any shot, because she's most suspicious other than yourself. So.
And she was, and it wouldn't have been one of those, like, it just was too convenient that he had this whole big, like, I'm watching you from day one bullshit. Like, you should have just gone with Phaedra, with Parvati. Especially since Parvati was somebody that also got that information about the shield. Yeah,
exactly. Like, that was a gift for him to use as well. Like, I wasn't the only one. Parvati, you know, exactly. Parvati had it as well, so.
Yeah, he shouldn't have tried to swing for Phaedra. He should have just gone with what would have been easier. CT goes for Dan, Sheree, Dan, Bergie, Dan, Kate, Dan, MJ, Dan, which means Dan is going to be banished. And he goes to the front. And he says that he came out of playing this game for 10 years. And yeah, he's a traitor. Yay. And it wasn't that nobody was that excited because I think everybody already knew that he was a traitor.
Yeah, they knew. Yeah. They weren't like yes! You know, sometimes they take a risk and then it like pays off and everyone's like jumping up. This was like, yeah, a little bit like ho hum because I feel like everyone knew as well. They're like, yep, makes sense. Yep.
Remember you were saying, like, why didn't Dan whisper to Sandra that he was suspicious of Parvati? Sandra would have been happy to vote her out.
I think so, too. Yeah.
He could have gotten the votes for Parvati.
Quite possibly, yeah. So
more easily. Silly. But he obviously wanted to protect her, which
was... And that would make more sense. He could be like, I didn't want to say anything because I'm working with Parvati that I just didn't want to, or like, you know, like... I wanted to make sure I was correct before I said anything, or like it would just would have made more sense. Where, because remember, they're in the same social circles as like that's why when they're doing the poison, Phaedra was on her own because she's in a different area with different people, and it's like so it makes sense. You're like, I didn't want to go after her, but why were you saving all this time to go after Phaedra when she's not part of your crew? Like, you could have went after her at any moment. You could have told to anyone that you know. Nobody was saving to like. That doesn't make any sense. Parvati, it would have.
Definitely just being like, God, I know like we're working together and like the game we're supposed to stay together, but I don't trust Parvati.
Yeah, it's such a missed opportunity for him. And when he could have went two ways because he was obviously going to go for another trader, and he just took the wrong way. Just, I don't know why. I think he just thought that he could like eat her up, and no.
Well, he says, Phaedra says he learned tonight. He did learn tonight not to mess with Phaedra. He does say have fun. Bye. Everyone says bye. Who says, but don't get too comfortable? Is that Alan? Probably Alan. Don't get too comfortable. Probably. I was wondering if it was going to be a double elimination, or like, I was wondering if there's going to be a new game or something like that. Like they're going to go right into a challenge. Like, I don't know.
I thought that was just a lead into the fact that it's like, there's a recruitment, you know? Like,
yeah. No, well, now we know that. That's what it is. So this one, Phaedra, or Trishelle does say that she thinks that Phaedra could be a traitor because he knows that he needed to give up a traitor at this point. And so he was giving up Phaedra in that moment. So Trishelle's on to Phaedra now, which is going to be very tricky. Peter and his group of faithfuls. Sandra calls them the faithful of the faithfuls. I think it's funny too. They're meeting together. And so that is Peter, Trishelle, John, Bergie, and I guess Kevin is in there. He doesn't offer anything of substance, it seems, but.
Yeah, I can't even remember where Kevin was. Yeah, Sandra's comment was cute. Well, let's go to the faithfulest of the faithfuls or whatever. Like, yeah, it's funny. True, it's kind of true though, but like it's funny.
They are the faithful of the faithful. They're never the
they all have their like little after school book club of it. You know what I mean? They're like, okay, who are we gonna get out? Because we know we're faithfuls. Like
it's cute. Little, I think it's cute.
It's given it's totally cute, but it's given Scooby-Doo,
Nancy Drew, Hardy Boys, like solving the mystery and getting duped sometimes. So it's gonna be Parvati versus Peter. Parvati's going to take down the Bachelor. Parvati and Phaedra go up into the conclave at midnight and they're talking. And does Phaedra say, I would rip his heart out?
Oh, I don't remember that comment.
Somebody said, I will rip his heart out. Maybe it's Parvati talking about Peter.
Yeah.
So they're thinking that they're going to be murdering Peter at this moment, even though I'm like, that's not a good idea, Parvati. We hear a knock, knock, knock. Alan joins them, tell them that they are either can murder or seduce if they choose to murder someone. If they choose to seduce someone and they don't accept, then no murder will have taken place. And so she wants to take a risk. And I'm like, that was the words that Dan says. I want to take a risk here. Don't take the risk. Don't take the risk, Parvati. And she's like, and watch him murder all his friends. I'm like, evil, but that's good. It's good.
I mean, if you can pull that off, then you deserve to win the game. I just think it's very unlikely. And I think Peter will get you.
Did you scream?
I did not, but I did. It was interesting when he was explaining to them and Phaedra's like, oh, like she'd never heard the rules before. And I'm like, how much did they explain, or like how often did they go over like what could happen? She's like, and I was like, do you know, you're doing pretty well, Phaedra, for someone who like seemingly has no idea what the rules were. Cause it was like, she was hearing it for the first time. But I love the slight over the top kind of drama that the traitors brings to like their editing and their cuts and their, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's good.
It's very fun. Very, very, very fun. Yes, Parvati does say, let's light this place on fire. She does want to tear them apart. And I think, it must have been Parvati saying that she wanted to rip his heart out, being Peter, that is. Great episode. We talked about it for a little while. It was good. I love this show. I'm sorry, Dan, that I was very happy to see you go, because I just felt that you shouldn't be rewarded any further with such bad gameplay from my perspective.
Exactly.
But now I'm worried, because I kind of liked being on Peter figuring it out side. And so I just don't want his game to completely flop now because he's a traitor. But I mean, he might be able to play it well And then if he does play it well, it's going to be really heartbreaking when he like loses against Berge or wins against Berge. I mean,
yeah, it's very much setting that up. Like, I do think that he takes the offer, and then I do think that he probably turns it around on them. And so, and I think if he brings the right people to the end, he can be that sole trader, and people are will just eat it on up because they're in that little alliance. So I think that's really, they've given him the gift of winning the games by himself.
It would be by himself. And that's another thing too, which I think that maybe Parvati didn't really think about, is that he can, he knows who the traders are. He's playing faithful for most of the time. So he will be very influential with who he wants to target. And if he starts all of a sudden targeting like Sheree, like it just wouldn't make any sense. He's going to have to still go with Parvati. He just said like, you have to go for Parvati in this next, like this next round, if I get murdered or whatever, like you still got to go for Parvati.
Yeah. Like, why would you change up what you're currently doing, especially being a trader when people are looking for changes in motivations, actions, any of, you know, verbiage, like whatever you, whatever they're looking for a change. And so, you know, why are you banking on him changing and backing you up when he's been trying to get you? It just, there's just no motivation for him to do that. So, I don't know what, I don't know what she was thinking. I didn't know what Dan was thinking. I don't know what she's thinking. I am at a loss. So, I do think that I just would hate to see Phaedra fall victim to it. I hope she goes first. But I mean, yeah. And I don't know that I'm like, you know, the biggest, like, in just in, like, I'm loving Peter as a character, but I'm like, I would want like Sandra to win, or I'd want like Phaedra to win or something like that. So,
well, I, right now, if Peter gets recruited, he's most likely, I would say, to win the game.
I absolutely agree. Yeah.
It's kind of like they gave him the keys, the golden keys here.
They will smell recruit, but it's like the recruit could be anybody for any reason. So it's not giving away that it's like one person. I mean, and that's why if you're recruited, you won't change your behavior, because you know someone will have been recruited and everyone will be looking. So
exactly. Unless he might play the, I was recruited, but I turned it down, so I'll probably be murdered.
I don't think we've actually seen that before, where someone's has been recruited, did accept, but then lied about the recruitment. Have we seen that? Mm-mm. That doesn't ring a bell.
We've seen, no, wait, did he do it, or did someone, yeah, wait, it happened. Didn't it happen in, which
they tried to recruit me, but they didn't. I've watched so many versions now. I can't remember.
I know. I've seen it happen that they said that. Oh, wasn't it season one?
I think what you're remembering is like someone was already a traitor and then they said, oh, they tried to recruit me last night, but I said no. Not that they were actually recruited that same night and then came in the next day and said, I was tried to be recruited, but I said no. So I think we've seen a traitor say that, make it up out of nowhere, but I don't know if we saw it in the same night, which is what Peter would be doing essentially.
I mean, that might be the play.
That's interesting. Yeah.
That might be the play, because then he could be full faithful still.
Yeah. Like, they tried to, no one's murdered because they tried to murder me and I declined it. So, and you know, they'll probably have him come in last or something too, right? Because they always do, like, whoever's had the business last night, they always come in last. So he could be like, they tried to recruit me, guys. And guess what? I said no. So I'm likely to get murdered now, but I'm telling you, like, and he could still go after, you know, he can still go after who's going after last time. So
just be like, they must be, I must have been onto something, because they tried to recruit me so that like they can throw me under the bus, or that like I would keep their secret safe. So I must be onto something. So guys, like, we only have a short time before they murder me. Like, let's do this. Like,
I'd be so, I mean, I think he'll just turn on the traitors, but I think that would be so much more interesting.
That kind of would be the play, maybe.
Yeah. That'd be good. So I'm really interested, because I don't know if this is just like, he found his groove in this role And if he can translate that into other, because he wasn't strategic to begin with. So like, but he quickly changed. So I'm really curious if he's able to, because he's really being set up for the win here for the whole season. So yeah, can that translate?
It's basically like, can he go to the dark side? Like, he's the faithful, and like, can he become evil? And yeah, having that much power, it's powerful.
Yeah. Well, it's enticing that you're like, can win by myself, so let's turn on these fate. But you really need someone in the end game, like at the final five, so you can like, when you just keep banishing and or stopping, so you can kind of feed that, you know, and appease them, because they know a traitor is still around. So you need to keep someone there. And then that's why I actually think it would be in his best interest, if he's super smart, to either do that move and go for Phaedra and spin that Trishel's tail, you know, push that and keep Parv a little longer, because you need someone that you can throw out in a little later. Bit. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, he was saying like, go for Parv, so I don't know.
Because at that point, he would be pretending like he didn't, that there's, that would work the best if he pretended like he was supposed to be recruited, so it wouldn't look like there's another traitor in the mix that they have to get rid of. It would just look like, yeah, they would likely only have to find two.
Two, but also you could say like, we know she's a traitor, let's just keep her in. And we know she's a traitor, let's keep her in. We can get rid of her at the end, because then if they're not, they might recruit another one, and then we don't know who that person would be.
100%.
Let's just knowing keep where they her in, get her at the final night when you can no longer recruit, because we know who she is. There's no benefit of getting rid of her now versus later, other than they would then throw in another wild card in the deck. So why bother? Let's keep her and get rid of her at the end.
Yeah, just pretend like, yeah, we believe you, Parvati. It was Dan all along. And they're like,
yes, yes. That's the move.
Okay. So, okay. He might do this. He might. He might try to get rid of Phaedra, give them another traitor, don't recruit, unless he really wants to recruit somebody that's on his side, but don't recruit, murder. Like, then what, have like two more murders and two murders and two banishments to get through. And then they will be at the final, you know, circle.
And just say, we can all win together because we know it's Parv. We know it's her. She's the last one. We know it's her.
That would be so frustrating as like Parvati.
It's a 1-2 punch. Say like, do what you said, like do the whole, they tried to recruit me, I said no. And then say, let's not get rid of Parv because we know it's her. We can just keep her until they can't recruit anymore, because they tried to recruit me and I said no. And then go after Phaedra, get her, and then throw Parv out at final five, make her believe whatever. And then
they won't. Just like, the four of us will, the five of us will split the money, but no, you won't. It'll just be.
Yeah. That's the ultimate. That's like an A++, but if you can pull that off.
There's no way Parv will last through the fire. No, exactly. Like, they would be using it to like, he'd be using that to get rid of the traitor at the final opportunity, when there will be no more recruitments. They'll give him the last traitor and be like, okay, we're all faithfuls now, even though he's still a traitor. And then he would win at the final fire.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's probably what Sandra's doing, because that's what Janelle was doing up until she decided to go after Dan.
Right. I hope so, for Sandra's sake. Yeah.
Well, I love talking through this with you. Pretty much my favorite activity to do every week. And everybody here in the chat, you guys are amazing, even though it's late night. Oh my God, super late. We need to go to sleep. Hopefully we won't get murdered. Do you have anything you want to share with the people before we sign off?
No, other than, I mean, I might not be here next week. I don't know for sure. I have to do a little house puppy cat, whole family of animals sanctuary sitting. I'm doing some house sitting that's out of town. I don't know what their internet's like, so maybe not. I don't know. I'll be sad if I'm not, because it's so
I think we're just have to figure it out. So you're gonna have to tether from your phone, which will always be a strong stream if you get on the internet.
Right.
So that's what you're gonna have to do. It's gonna have to be you, Dan.
oh no, oh god, no.
Yes, it has been fun, Amy. Thanks for being here. Please make sure you subscribe to the channel, like this video, and in the comments, what do you think is going to happen with Peter? Do you think Peter is going to accept, or do you think he's not going to accept? Do you think he's going to accept and become a traitor? And do you think he's going to be just completely play faithful? Or do you think he might lie and say that he got recruited, but it didn't happen? How do you think it's going to kind of play out? And do you think that he is going to come for Phaedra? Like, how do you think Peter is going to play the next episode is my big question. And like, maybe they're just like, that's going to be so embarrassing for Parvati, where they're just like, you're not even significant anymore because we know you're a traitor. We're just going to like, allow you to just be
she
here.
She can walk into all the rooms like the evil queen that she is.
Like, they don't need to find a traitor anymore when they know it. Like, it's like,
yeah, when you definitively know that there's a traitor, I don't know why you wouldn't do that. So just no one's done it yet. So, but anyway, let us know. Let us know your thoughts.
Amy thinks that he'll accept and lie his ass off. Well, let's see what anybody else thinks. I'm hoping for the scenario that I concocted. Let's hear what your scenarios are, and we'll talk about it next week. Bye.